right, guys. Happy Wednesday. Welcome to True Threats Radio. Got a great guest lined up coming up just after the first break here. We've got Stan Monteith. He's an expert on, well, a whole lot of things, but I think we're going to be talking today primarily about Freemasonry, its involvement throughout the country's history, and wherever else the wind blows, you never know. First, let me go to a couple of quick announcements. I got a new book uploaded on Lulu.com as of this morning, and I'm going to be getting another one or two up there in the next several days, hopefully, if time permits. It's another one of my religious works from back in my theology major days. It's called The Hellish Error. It's about the popular dogma in the mainstream churches, you know, the dogma of hell, this idea that, you know, the wicked, as soon as they die, are going to go to this burning place and are going to burn on and on and on endlessly throughout the eternal ages to come, which is complete hogwash. It's a pagan idea, guys, like a whole lot of other things that are taught in big-name churches today. So if you want to read that and get the proof of what a scam that is, you can go to lulu.com, that's L-U-L-U.com. Just type in my name, Charles Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I, and you'll see that book available along with some others I have. If anyone wants to get the Aaron Russo DVD, Freedom to Fascism, a great Christmas gift, open people's eyes to the truth about the New World Order, you can get that for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by either calling 800-724-2719 or by going to the website republicbroadcasting.org or else by sending a check or money order to the RBN office, 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, and that's in Round Rock, Texas, zip 78664. Anyway, like I said, oh, by the way, anybody has any, been getting some good ideas, good leads for future guests, all kinds of suggestions, websites, ideas to work on that, you know, people want to hear discussed on future shows. If you got any such ideas or suggestions, the email address to reach me at is truthhurtsradio at AOL.com. And again, Hertz is spelled H-E-R-T-Z. And the website, which admittedly I haven't checked myself in a while. I don't know that it's being updated regularly, but it's truthhurts.com, H-E-R-T-Z. And if there hasn't been any postings there recently, well, be the first to post something. Last I checked, it wasn't since like July that something was posted on there. So, hey, get a discussion going and you can get some people chatting on there back and forth. Let's see. New website, guys, as I've mentioned before, for Republic Trading. It's republictradinggroup.net. And the phone number to call, if you're interested in getting in on the gold coins, is 800-691-7898. Again, that's 800-691-7898. If anybody wants to call in during the broadcast, you get comments or questions for the guests, you can dial in at 800-313-9443. Again, that's 800-313-9443. This will be an interesting guest. We'll be covering a lot of interesting stuff. And I'm sure you'll probably have some questions or comments for him, so feel free to call in. Okay, guys, we're going to go to a short break. As soon as we get back, we'll have him up. It should be a real interesting interview, so stick with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you. The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. Call and ask about the free shipping offer until October 15th, 2007, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host Charlie Giuliani. We're now joined by our guest, Dr. Stanley Monteith, a researcher, a writer, author, and an expert on a whole lot of things, particularly Freemasonry, which I guess most of our discussion today anyway will be focused around. Welcome to the show, Dr. Monteith.
It's good to be with you, Charlie.
Yeah, great to have you. Yeah, I got your book. Looks really good, really interesting. Freemasonry, without question, has had a major impact, well, not only on American history, but the history of the world, particularly in the last couple centuries. They have indeed been working quite busily, haven't they, from behind the scenes?
Yes, they really have. In fact, so many of the problems that we face today in America can be directly linked to Freemasonry or the various organizations they're affiliated with. Now, I would not suggest that Freemasonry is the only organization out there that is working to destroy America. In fact,
right,
Freemasonry has probably lost some of its influence over the last decade or more, since there's been a conscious effort on the part of various groups of people to expose the true origin of Masonry and what they're really up to. But they certainly played a very significant part in what's going on today, because it was the Masonic influence in the Supreme Court between 1941 and 1971 that took God and prayer out of our schools. And what people don't understand is that between 1941 and 1971, the Masons controlled the United States Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1. And we certainly document that in our book. But anybody can go up on the Internet and pull down the list of Supreme Court justices when they served. And then you can get the list of the Supreme Court justices who were Masons. And you'll find out that they did control the court. And you have to understand that the purpose of Masonry is the worship of the great architect of the universe. That's not the God that we worship. The whole idea of Freemasonry was to create a secular America, to take God and prayer out of our schools, and by so doing, of course, remove the moral foundation of this once great Christian nation and ultimately destroy the nation. Because their loyalty has never been primarily to the United States, but to their internationalist goals and dreams. And what people don't understand is that Masonry is basically a fraternity within a fraternity. I mean, the basis of that comes from a man named Manly P. Hall, who when he died back in the, 1991, was referred to by the Scottish Rite magazine as America's, or I should say the world's greatest Masonic philosopher. The world's greatest Masonic philosopher. And Manly P. Hall, I've studied for years and read many of his books, but in his book, the Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, he explains what Masonry is. It is a fraternity within a fraternity, an outer fraternity that you see that has a lot of good people in it who like to do charitable work and have a good time, and they like the camaraderie of the brotherhood and the rituals, but an inner fraternity. And that's where, of course, the real problem is, the inner fraternity of men who study the Arcanum and the and Canorum. And if those words aren't familiar, I will have to admit I had to go to the dictionary and look them up. But it's the secret and the secret of secrets. And this is the secret that's been passed down through the ages. And modern-day Masonry is simply a manifestation of that ancient secret that's been passed down through the ages, through secret societies, and whether we talk about the Gnostics or the Rosicrucians or the Templars or the ancient mystics of bygone days, why they have all been privy to this secret that has made many great men greater and has been known to most of the great leaders of the past, but is so little understood today as what's going on. And this is why most people have no idea why America is changing and why this is not the America I was raised in when I was a boy 50 years ago, 60 years ago.
That's for sure. And, it's so important to point that out. When we talk about the evils of Masonry, we're not talking about your average small-town USA Mason who's, just achieved the third or fourth degree and he's really proud and, he's interested in doing humanitarian work, and that's not what we're talking about here. The
Absolutely.
Whopping majority, the whopping majority of Masons are incredibly, oblivious, and are kept oblivious deliberately as to what's going on at the highest levels. They want them to be kept in ignorance. They know that most of their members would never support them if they knew what they were really all about. So they do, in fact, keep them, just as they do the general public, ignorant as to what their real objectives are.
In fact, in my book, I take a couple of quotations from Albert Pike's book, Morals and Dogma, where he says, we are intentionally deceiving, the Mason. The average Mason has no idea. The whole idea, there are secrets, but they will only be known by the adepts and the princes of Masonry, and the average Mason will never know. And that is intentional. They actually deceive people. And why would anybody want to belong to an organization where they're trying to deceive them? It's only when you get to the upper echelons, you've done a lot of studying, you can really begin to understand what it's all about. And you're told you have to read and study and contemplate. And believe me, I've read, and it took me a long time reading Masonic literature before I finally could really figure out what it is. And I would say that probably 95% of Masons have no idea that the philosophy is based upon Gnosticism and the belief of this ancient heretical set of Christianity. But then, of course, they were simply a manifestation, you know, in the first and second and third centuries, you know, of the forces that had come out of ancient Babylon, or codified in the Kabbalah and the ancient writings of the Egyptians and Syrians, who had tapped into this supernatural power and, of course, accomplished some great and amazing things, but we don't necessarily want to be tapping into that power.
Right. And, you know, again, by their own admission, they are deceiving the bulk of their membership. And since they are, in fact, doing that, you got to ask, well, how could they be up to anything good?
Well, they're not. You know, that's a tragedy. They are really part of this whole move to destroy the sovereignty of our country and merge us into the New World Order, the New World Religion, with a New World Leader.
Yeah. And you mentioned a lot of the Supreme Court justices back at, you know, those earlier decades in the 40s, 50s, being prominent Masons. But, you know, you look at the same with the presidents. You know, you had FDR, who was, what, a 32nd degree Mason. Then you had a 33rd degree Mason, Truman, followed by another Mason, Eisenhower. And, you know, of course, Daddy Bush, 33rd degree Mason.
Well, I don't know whether he was the... Whether, and it may very well be that Bush was a secret Mason. I mean, many of the Masonic lodges deny that, but there are others who say he was. I don't know whether George Bush was a Mason, but there's no question Roosevelt was a Mason, and certainly Truman was a Mason, and they packed the Supreme Court with Masons. And it was that, you know, after, of course, Harry Truman left the White House and in 1952, but the men that they had there, of course, then controlled the White House, controlled the Supreme Court until 71. But, of course, Lyndon Johnson was a Mason, Jerry Ford was a Mason, and certainly Ronald Reagan accepted an honorable 33rd degree when he was in the White House. And, of course, we find the Bush family, we know that they come from a parallel organization, which is Skull and Bones, of both the father and the son. And so we see this occult influence constantly at the highest levels of our government.
Right. Of course, Daddy Bush's mention of the 1,000 points of light really refers to all the different workers within these secret societies collaborating toward world government. So, you know, there you go. By their own admission, they come out and tell you. If you give them enough space, you know, they actually reveal what their hidden agenda is. And
well, you know, it's very interesting. Yeah, it's very interesting. If you read the occult literature, and I do, and I have researchers who send it to me, I have this one article by a man deeply involved in the occult, and he was commenting, you know, that he had never heard anybody outside of the occult in the writings of Alice Bailey, and of course that would be H.G. Wells as well, but writing about the New World Order until he heard George Bush use that term. You know, I guess it was in 1990 or 1991.
1990,
yeah. Yeah, and then, of course, the actually term 1,000 points of light that George Herbert Walker, that had come from the writings of Alice Bailey. And Alice Bailey was the leading occultist probably in the world during the first half of the 20th century. And she wrote 19 books. Well, actually, she didn't write them. She channeled them from a demonic spirit named Joao Kuhl. And Joao Kuhl had used these terms, the 1,000 points of light and the New World Order. And it's very interesting that George Bush would pick up on that and use that in his speeches. And that, of course, has been always been the goal of the occultists, to bring about this one world government under the control of their leader, who is Lucifer. And certainly Alice Bailey, all of these people were worship the other god. And that, of course,
she established Lucifer Trust. She didn't even hide it. She named her company, organization, which, by the way, became a NGO under the UN, still there. But they didn't hide it. Lucifer Trust. It's unbelievable.
Well, most people have no idea that these things are going on. And Satan's greatest accomplishment is to convince us he doesn't exist.
Well, we're going to expose a lot more of that when we get back. Stick with us, folks.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hey guys, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host Charlie Giuliani. We're joined by Dr. Stan Monteith, talking about Freemasonry and other secret societies and their detrimental influence to our republic. You know, you go back to the founding of this country, and this is the one big question a lot of people ask. You know, were any of the founders really what they professed to be? It appears that pretty much all of them were a part of this grand conspiracy, and, you know, were they sincere about actually really creating a free country, or was it just a facade to lull the public into a false sense of security while all the while they could be busily working behind the scenes to set up the most tyrannical system of government the world's ever known? Were they sincere, or were they frauds from the start?
Well, I think that is the question where you want an either-or answer, and the answer is, there were two answers. First of all, there were many sincere Christians here who really believed in a Christian republic and the idea of individual freedom. And then there were other occultists here at the time, and they really, of course, wanted to create this this new society that would one day rule the world. So there were two forces here. It was predominantly Christian to begin with, but the occultists were here. There's always been this conflict between the occult and the Christian, just as that battle between light and darkness, between God and Satan, has existed since the beginning of time. Unfortunately, the occult forces are in total working control today, and even they've infiltrated all of our churches They've infiltrated the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church. They're working within the Jewish religion. And so they've effectively neutralized their opposition. But originally, when America was created, there were people here who really believed in this idea of creating one nation under God, and that God was the God of the Bible. But there were other people who would use that these concepts, but they worshipped a different God. And certainly, you can go into the background of Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was a brilliant man, but he also was deeply involved in the occult and rejected Christianity. Thomas Jefferson actually went through many phases of his life, and you have to study him to realize that at one time he was actually involved with the mystery religions and the occult. But as he grew older, he actually turned against that and returned more to the religion he'd been raised in, although I don't think he ever believed in the divinity of Jesus Christ. He certainly believed in the teachings of Jesus Christ, and in fact, there's a wonderful letter we have that he wrote to John Adams, and John Adams had, John Adams, as he grew older, had become more of a Calvinist. Earlier, he was more of a Unitarian, but he'd become accepting more of the traditional teachings that were taught at that time. And he'd written to Jefferson saying, I hope one day you'll become a Calvinist. And Jefferson wrote back and said, then I will live forever because I will never become a Calvinist. They became older. And, of course, at one time, these two men, Adams and Jefferson, were at longer points. As they grew older, they came to be the best of friends.
Right.
Anyway, of course, Adams certainly was held to the Christian positions, and did so many of the others, but certainly...
Jefferson was more of a deist, wasn't he?
Beg your pardon?
Jefferson was more of a deist, I believe,
yes,
wasn't he?
Yes, he was more of a deist. But, of course, deism can very well lead you into the occult. And he was actually experimenting with all of these ideas. He was very much in favor of the French Revolution. He supported Thomas Paine after he had written his book, The Age of Reason, which was really a condemnation of Christianity. As Jefferson grew older, however, his ideas changed even more, and he did return much more to Christianity. We actually have a wonderful book. One of the most valuable books, from my personal point of view, is a book called The Master Thoughts of Thomas Jefferson, printed back in 1907 by the bar of the state of New York, and it has simply the great thoughts of Thomas Jefferson, and you can see him going through the various phases of his evolution of his thought. But certainly when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, he was really involved with this idea that men were going to create this wonderful utopian society. He believed that there was a God there, but it was not the God of the Bible.
Right.
But his ideas, of course, were based upon the writings of John Locke, who was a Christian, and certainly of Blackstone, who was coming from a Christian point of view. And so many of the ideas you see put forward in the Declaration of Independence, this idea of life and liberty, and of course the original wording of the Declaration was life, liberty, and property. And it was somebody else who took out the property and put it in the term the pursuit of happiness. But if you read the Constitution, you will find, in fact, you'll never see the words life and liberty used without associating that with the word property. And those were the ideas that went back to John Locke. First of all, John Locke believed in nature's God and nature's law. And he also believed in these ideas of life, liberty, and property. And those ideas then were carried forward by Jefferson, who was writing based upon the Christian worldview that existed at that time. Because he was strongly influenced by these ideas, even though he could never bring himself to accept the divinity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus
right.
Christ was actually God.
When I read Jefferson's writings, I can't help but think the man had nothing but sincerity in him. Mason or not, maybe one of the lower ranking Masons that didn't really know what was going on, because his writings are just right. They just cut to the point. He doesn't play any games. All right, folks, short break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hey guys, welcome back to True Threats Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani, joined today by our guest, Dr. Stan Monteith, continuing our discussion here about Freemasonry. So, yeah, I have to agree, Jefferson, I think, of all of them. I still wonder about Washington. I'm not sure. I kind of go back and forth on him. After all, he doesn't seem to have been a sideliner when it comes to Freemasonry. We've all seen those pictures of him in the full regalia there, swearing his oath of office. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, there's not a picture of it is a portrait. I mean, it is a portrait that is made up by a Mason. So, they, you know, pictures have a powerful influence on our minds. But, of course, if you read Jefferson's writings, we have them. I mean, he will tell you that, you know, he had really been in a, he's writing in about these 1790s. He said, you know, I haven't been in a lodge in 30 years.
I'm talking about Washington, actually, not Jefferson.
We're talking about George Washington. And basically, certainly, he was a Mason, but I don't believe he was deeply involved in the Masonic lore. I believe he really believed in America. I believe he was a Christian. You read his writings, you get this impression. He felt very strongly about Christianity. You read his prayers that he wrote as a young man. You read the orders that he gave, you know, his instructions, his statement about, you know, how important Christianity was for the Indians and for others, and the orders that he gave to his generals, the prayer that he required his men to pray on a regular basis, the fact that he would not allow vulgarity among his troops, you know, and how rough and crude soldiers often are, but Washington wouldn't tolerate that. He recognized the morality and how important it was. So I believe that, certainly, although George Washington was a Mason, I do not believe he was involved with the occult aspects of Masonry.
Right.
But, you know, if you really want to understand what is going on today, you really need to read the writings of the people on the other side, because there are a few of them who really tell you the truth. And we mentioned earlier Manly P. Hall. He's got a book which we actually carry. We do not list it in our catalog. We can only get it on, you know, we have it on special order. You have to specifically request it. It's a short little book. It's called The Secret Destiny of America.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get into. So, you know, in that sense, were they just more quietly working behind the scenes?
Well, they were at that time, back, you know, at the time of the American Revolution, they were quietly working behind the scenes, and they really wanted a world revolution. In fact, there was to be a series of revolutions. The American Revolution was simply the first of all of the world revolutions. A few years later, 1789, you had the first French Revolution, you had revolutions in Germany and Italy. There's a wonderful book. It's written by the Librarian of Congress. We carry it. It's called, I guess maybe we don't still carry it, but you can get it, called Fire in the Minds of Men, written by James H. Billington, who's a member of the CFR, who really understands what this is all about. And he will tell you that America was the first revolution, but after that, the French Revolution, all the revolutions of Europe, and then culminating in the Russian Revolution and the Cuban Revolution in 1959, it's all part of this same movement, this idea of bringing about this new world order. And it goes right back to the Masons and the Illuminati and the secret societies that existed in Europe at that time. Now, the one thing is, the problem with the book is, Billington denies the fact that these occult forces came to America, and we know that he knows they did, because we were able to get through his office a document that was in the Jefferson Connection about the Clintonian Illuminati, and it was dated, I think, 1803 or 1804, and you'd be amazed at how difficult they made it for us to get, and it was just a fluke that Dennis Cuddy and I worked together, and how we were able to actually liberate a copy of this. We offer this. It's very obvious the Illuminati was operating in the United States in the early 1800s, and James H. Billington certainly knows that, because this came out of the Jefferson Collection at the Library of Congress that he supervised. But wow. This gives you an idea. The secret societies existed all during the 18th and 19th centuries, and they exist today. This is what the American people don't know. Anybody who talks about secret societies is immediately attacked and demonized, and that's what you do. If you don't like what people are saying, you've got to attack and destroy them. But what Manly P. Hall says in this wonderful little book, The Secret Destiny of America, which is available through my ministry, and that is the fact that for 3,000 years, secret societies have been working behind the scenes to bring about world democracy. And that's why we're fighting in Iraq today.
I have Dennis Cuddy coming on tomorrow, by the way. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, Dennis is certainly one of my favorite people. And I've never met Dennis, but he's like one of my closest friends. We talk almost on a daily basis. And I look to him for information. He has information that no one else does. He's a wonderful researcher, and we're fortunate to have him.
Yeah, anybody not familiar with him, you really got to look him up. Go to Amazon.com. He's got quite a few excellent. I've gotten a lot of good information from him over the years. Anyway, coming back to, now you were talking about the Iraq War.
Well, the thing is, we're supposedly fighting in Iraq for democracy. Well, this was exactly what actually Manly P. Hall was talking about. He said, for 3,000 years. Now, this book is written in 1944. But the purpose of the secret societies has always been to bring about world democracy. What most Americans don't understand is America is not a democracy, no matter what George Bush says, and no matter what Rush Limbaugh says, and no matter what the people in Congress and the Senate say, we are not a democracy. You can read the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the Federalist Papers and the constitutions of every one of our 50 states, and there's not one of them that ever mentions the word democracy other than to decry it and say, we do not want a democracy. We are a republic. And there's always the difference, total difference between republics and democracies. A democracy is majority rule. A republic is ruled by law, where the power of the government is restricted by law. And that's why most of what goes on today is a violation of our Constitution. Most of the people working in Congress today don't believe in the Constitution, even though they have all sworn and uphold an oath to uphold it and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we've got about 400 enemies of the Constitution working in Congress today. The only people who talk about it would be people perhaps like Congressman Ron Paul, who tries to say, this has to be determined how you vote. Is it constitutional? The rest of them want to do what they want to, and that's what you do in a democracy. In a republic, why you're bound by the laws of that land. And we are a republic, not a democracy. In fact, I have a great little pamphlet we offer on that, inexpensive, a couple of dollars, but we are a republic. People need to understand the difference between a republic and democracy and why the founding fathers of America repeatedly said we do not want a democracy in America. So if that's the case, why are we fighting for democracy in Iraq? And it's simply, I believe, because the goal of the people who control America today is the same goal of the ancient secret societies that have been working for 3,000 years, according to Manly P. Hall in his book, The Secret Destiny of America, to bring about world democracy. That's what it's about. And, of course, democracy is really a code name for a rule by an elite who give the people the idea that they're voting for the candidate of their choice, but they're really not. In fact, in Washington, D.C. today, why we don't vote for the candidate of our choice, we vote for the candidate of their choice. They control both political parties, and as Professor Quigley says so well in his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, on pages 1247 and 1248, what we need are two political parties that are the same, so that every 4 years the people can go to the polls and vote the scoundrels out, but nothing changes. And that's the way it really is.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have to rig it with the little Diebold machines. They're just getting more greedy than ever. But it didn't matter if we got Kerry or Bush. They're both skull and bones. They're both secret societies members, and they're both sold out to this New World Order agenda.
Well, I think the reason that they rigged the election to keep George Bush in is because he will destroy the Republican Party. He will destroy the Christian, organizations that have backed him. He will totally discredit anybody who does back him down the line. And
yeah,
I really believe he's undermining Christianity. I believe he's undermining the Republican Party. I believe that's why they have rigged the election in 2004 so that he would win over fellow Skull and Bones member John Kerry. And that's why
Kerry... I like them both. They both work for him, but the truth is the American public falls for the labels game, and it's much more easy to push liberal agendas to one who claims to be a conservative and a Christian.
Right. And, of course, John Kerry had a lot of money left over in his campaign and really had a lot of contributions. I don't know, had $15 or $20 million left over when the election battle ended, in 2004. And he could have challenged the election in Ohio, which was rigged. I mean, they were rigging the election machines. There was one precinct with 800 members, 800 people registered in the precinct, and 4,000 votes for George Bush. And somebody said, how could you get 4,000 votes for George Bush in a precinct with only 800 people? And the explanation was, well, the voting machine had a hiccup, that's why. And everybody nodded their heads and said, oh, it was a hiccup. That's how it happened. They rigged the election. But John Kerry could have challenged it, and he didn't. And you have to ask why. Well, because the fix was in. He knew that George Bush was supposed to win, and he was going to be a good little boy and not rock the boat, not challenge the people with power, or they might send him on a trip to Dallas, too.
Did you see what happened in Florida there a week and a half ago? Kerry was asked. Kerry was asked that very question. Why didn't you challenge it? You won the election. And, of course, that's when the police came and tasered him. And Kerry could have said something. Oh, please, leave him alone. He's okay. And no, he wanted that man silenced. He probably nodded or gave some secret signal he had established ahead of time, to do just that.
Well, Pope, as it may, I think that people have to understand they do not want anybody out here questioning the electoral process. We're supposed to think we elect a candidate of our choice, and we do not. They select a candidate of their choice, and they rig the elections, and that's how it works. And if we hope to maintain our freedom, we've got to get back to a paper ballot. We've got to get the American people to understand our Constitution. We've got them to understand the secret societies, and we've got to get them to care about freedom. The tragedy is most Americans have always been free. They can't imagine what it would be like to live without it. But I fear they're going to find out very, very soon.
Well, the irony is they're not even free now.
No, but we do have a tradition of freedom. Certainly the America I grew up in 50 years ago was an entirely different America than we have today. We did not have video cameras in every store, in every bank. We did not have video cameras on our streets. We did not have the means of tracking the American people. We did not have satellites that could watch us, satellites that we put out billions of dollars on to spy on the Russians that are now being used to spy on the American citizens. We didn't have dossiers on literally every American citizen. They were not tapping every telephone call and every email and fax. Of course, we didn't have those 50 years ago, but I was raised in an entirely different America.
I would argue that those satellites were never intended to spy on Russia. They were always intended for us anyway. I think the whole Cold War was just a big bag of wind.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. But, I think that Sydney, they did spy on Russia, because the military would have gone right along with that. See, most of the people in the military honestly believe the idea that the Russians were the enemy.
Yeah.
The communists were the enemy. Without realizing
they had to be convinced. They were putting their lives on the line.
Sure. And they still are. Most of our military people are true patriots who believe they're fighting for America without realizing they are actually being used by the very people who hate America and intend to destroy our freedom.
It's amazing that they're led to believe they're fighting for our freedoms here while they're yet being stripped away on a daily basis.
Well, I hope that more and more of them are learning that lesson. And our job, your job, and my job is to educate everybody, educate as many people as we can reach in the military and in the police, but in the general population. People have to understand that we've sent our boys overseas to fight for freedom, and we're losing our freedom here at home. And that's exactly what was intended.
The ultimate slap in the face to our servicemen.
Amen.
Yeah.
They're simply being used as cannon fodder in a war that they're not allowed to win. I think the military's done a wonderful job, and they've certainly been blocked at every turn. And we'd won the war. The Iraq war was over and won, by April of 2003. They sent over Paul Bremer, and he dissolves the Iraqi army, and he dissolves the Iraqi police force, and he dissolves the Iraqi civil services. There's no electricity or water or sewage. And then he shuts down all the factories that are owned by the government over there, employing a couple of 100,000 people. People have no jobs, no food, no water, no electricity. And then we wonder why they don't like us. We created the chaos. What would happen if you went into New York and you turned off the electricity, the water, the sewage and took out the police force. What would happen to the city of New York? You'd have chaos. And that's exactly what Paul Bremer of the Council on Foreign Relations did to Iraq. And they've got all sorts of excuses. Oh, shucks. We had no idea what was going to happen, why there were some Saddam supporters in the military, and it was all a lie. They wanted the chaos because they want a justification to keep us there indefinitely. We're never going to pull our troops out. And until
people
the American people understand that we still have troops in Germany, 60 years after the Second World War ended, in Japan, 60 years after the Second World War ended, in Korea, you know, 50 years after the Korean War ended.
Yeah.
Not until they understand that.
It's,
well, they understand
it's laughable when people say that, oh, this war is such a disaster, Bush is so incompetent. Are you kidding? They want you to think that.
Amen to that.
They want it to be a disaster.
That's
okay,
right.
Guys, stick with us. Short break. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Back to True Threats Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Stan Monteith on, talking about Freemasonry and the mess that they've made. They, along with their fellow secret societies working behind the scenes, made quite a mess of things, haven't they? You look out at the world today, and it really is not the world that we had just a few decades ago. You know, the world's never—it's never been a perfect place, but my heavens, we've certainly fallen a lot further from perfection than we ever were before.
Well, I think that this is exactly what they intended when they took God and prayer out of our schools. They expected us to, you know, begin moving towards a secular society, an immoral society. As they centralized all power in Washington D.C. I mean, originally, you know, things, matters such as pornography and immorality and homosexuality and abortion were to be dealt with at the state level. These were never to be dealt with at the national level. But by taking all power to Washington, D.C., and that was done thanks to the Masons, they knew that they would be able to manipulate us into the current state of a nation of moral anarchy. And this is what we have today. So we can thank the Masons on the United States Supreme Court for what's happened, and we can ask, why don't our political or our spiritual leaders tell us about the Masonic influence? I know in church I used to go to, they would have people come in, talk about cults, and would learn all about the New Age movement, and would learn about the Jehovah's Witnesses, and would learn about other cults, but they would never mention the Masons. And I would put up my hand and say, why don't we talk about Masonry? Oh, we couldn't do that. Oh no, they're too powerful, and if our churches won't tell us the truth, if our ministers won't tell us the truth, who will? And yet, if you are a minister today and you were to speak out against Masonry, chances are you've got people in your board working in your church there who will go after the minister because they have infiltrated our churches and they've done a good job of neutralizing them.
You know, it was summed up back in the June 19th, 1920 issue of the Christian Science Monitor, which made this statement: what is important is to dwell upon the increasing evidence of the existence of a secret conspiracy throughout the world for the destruction of organized government and the letting loose of evil. And then later we had 33rd degree Mason J. Edgar Hoover back in 1956 made this similar statement. He said, the individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous that he cannot believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to a realization of the evil which has been introduced into our midst. It rejects even the assumption that human creatures could espouse a philosophy that must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent. And that's really what this is all about.
Sure,
they're actually out to destroy everything that's good and wholesome and bring about chaos and destruction.
You're absolutely right. But of course, J. Edgar Hoover, you know, for years covered up the mafia here, for years, of course, to this very day.
Tell you what, we got a short break. Hold that thought, and we'll pick it up when we get back.
Recent internet.